Thousands of elderly residents of both our states and millions across the country need to live in facilities where their often considerable physical needs can be met by trained staff. We're talking about long-term care. All across the country, extra eyes keep watch on the providing of long-term care to make sure seniors get what they need. In Oregon, the extra eyes belong to the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program, or LTCO. There's a frequent need for more people to work as long-term care ombudsman. Two guests will help us understand the program better. Fred Steele is the director of the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, joins us by phone from upstate. Fred, welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Jeffrey, and thank you.
Sure, and Julie Scott is with us in the studio, volunteer ombudsman in Josephine County, and as she informed me a couple of moments ago, one of two in the whole county, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, I think we have a fix already on the need for more volunteers. Fred Steele, tell us about LTCO. It's Oregon's version of a nationally mandated program, is that right?
Yeah, it's the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program was founded in the 1970s in the Older Americans Act. In 1985, Oregon created its own statutory structure for the program. We're a state agency, but we really function more like a nonprofit. And Julie, right in front of you there, is the perfect example. We rely on we have about 175 volunteers around the state of Oregon that are the ones visiting in the care facilities. And our charge is protecting the rights, the legal rights, civil rights, and then just rights as a resident of a care facility for the approximately 45,000 Oregonians that are living in long-term care currently.
How many in living in long-term care?
Approximately 45,000.
Okay. So, wow. So 175 volunteers to keep an eye on 45,000 people is a pretty thin spread, isn't it?
It is, and appreciative of the legislature this last session, they funded an additional three positions for us that will actually support another, and really what they were investing in was more volunteers. Three positions can help support another 100 volunteers around the state with what they've provided for us. So we feel really supported by the legislature, by the governor's office, and again, really what it comes down to are community-based volunteers like Julie, who are the ones visiting on a weekly basis, getting to know residents and being a trusted source for residents that have concerns. They can go to that person, and our volunteers help work through issues in those care facilities.
So, Julie, as one of two long-term care ombudsmen for Josephine County, how many different long-term care facilities are there to split between the two of you?
Well, there's four nursing homes. I'm going off the top of my head here, but I think there's about seven sort of residential care facilities and maybe about five assisted livings. And I am going by off the top of my head here. I didn't research maybe enough. And there's a number of foster homes as well.
Uh-huh. All right, so we're talking more than a dozen, certainly.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
For two of you to take
oh,
a look
yeah.
At, yeah.
But I'm assigned to two nursing homes, one assisted living, and a memory care, and about five foster homes that I'm actually assigned to. But both Dorothy and myself, Dorothy Yetta, who's my co-worker, we've made a commitment that if a call comes into Salem, into the 800 number, then we'll cover it wherever it is.
So, Fred Steele, give us an outline then of the kinds of things that the long-term care ombudsman are keeping an eye on, the sorts of things that they get a sense for what is correct and when it is not being done correctly.
Approximately every month we address statewide approximately 250 to 300 issues, and some of the issues are very small. A lot of them are really small that, you know, our volunteers are addressing, and so those can look like addressing, dietary issues, which could be the facility trying to place some dietary restrictions, and in good, you know, trying to follow doctor's orders for somebody that has diabetes. But like any adult, we can all choose to ignore our doctor's orders or the wishes of our adult children when we're in a care facility, and so we can be there to make sure that somebody can have, the salt they want, or just, issues around their dietary, their meals and meal times. But we get into care planning issues. You know, somebody living in a care facility or receiving assistance with bathing, dressing, just your everyday activities that an individual, they call it activities of daily living. We can assist with, and our volunteers assist with, care planning. It gets into medication issues, onto what really is our number one issue we deal with statewide. Usually starts with our volunteers, but then we bring in staff to assist with issues of evictions. You know, when somebody moves into a care facility, they probably plan to live there the rest of their lives, you know, unless it's rehab, but this is their home. And when they get evicted because of changes in their health, we try to work with the resident in the facility to try to find alternatives before the person has to actually leave or be forced to leave their home. The volunteers, so it's kind of that range of issues that the volunteers start or the first point of contact for residents to go to.
We're talking about the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program in Oregon, which looks after the needs of seniors living in long-term care facilities, hence the name Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Fred Steele directs the program upstate. Julie Scott is a volunteer, one of two in Josephine County. You can join us as we talk more about the program and the qualifications that are necessary for volunteers. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Fred Steele, is it a complaint-driven program then? Do you generally not get activity at the places until something happens?
It can be complaint driven, probably 75%, and that's just a wild percentage, but about 75% of our issues that we address are calls that come in either from residents or from family members or even facility staff that are concerned about certain aspects of the daily lives of residents. Those calls can go directly to our volunteer that's assigned to the care facility, like Julie. They do come in. We have a 1-800 number at our office in Salem. But approximately 25% of issues are things that the volunteers recognize in getting to know the residents. We ask for about 4 hours a week from our volunteers to visit those facilities, whether it's, you know, generally we assign a minimum two facilities to a volunteer. Unless they get more comfortable, like Julie, and then they can take on more. But you have two facilities. It might be approximately 100 residents total. That volunteer gets to know those individuals, and they visit them weekly and regularly, and they start identifying just by getting to know them, asking questions. You get to identify things. Well, why aren't you participating in activities, say the facility's organizing and going external, that maybe there's some barriers to participation in those daily life aspects, or you know, why are your medications, it looks like they've changed in the way they're delivering those? Can we assist with that? So sometimes it's complaint driven, and sometimes it's just because of that rapport that's developed between volunteer and the residents of those facilities.
So 4 hours a week, the benchmark we're talking about, Julie Scott, is that what you're limited to? I can imagine in a place where you are in a fairly large county with only two people that you're putting in more than 4 hours a week.
That's what they ask. Sometimes it exceeds that. Sometimes it may not be quite as bad. It's cyclical in some respects. And I'd like to sort of follow up a little bit on what Fred said as far as. So a lot of what we deal with is communications. People don't know what to expect from what services they will receive from the facility. If they aren't getting the services, they don't know who to go to. So quite a bit of it is education. And that was one of the things that I was telling you. I had two problems yesterday, and I solved them both.
Yay.
So I was very happy. But one of them was just communication. A new resident didn't know who to talk to, didn't know what was going on, and didn't know what to expect. And it took me maybe 20 minutes total, and I had a smiling resident by the time I'd finished. And that's the rewards of the program, is the connection with the people and being able to improve the quality of their lives.
Is your contact with a resident generally going to be in the first, say, 6 months to a year of the time in a facility, just as they sort of get acculturated and acclimated to a place?
Often it's that way, but now because we're spread a little thin, sometimes a person might be there for a year and I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the nursing homes that I cover have got sort of 100 residents in them or about that. And I don't get to know all of them as well as I would. What we do, though, is we try to attend the resident council meetings. And anybody that knows a person in long-term care, encourage them to join the residents council. It's a forum where they can discuss their frustrations, their questions. A record is kept of what goes on at those meetings if it's done properly. And it can be beneficial both to the residents and to the staff, because sometimes the staff don't know what's going on.
So, Julie, what appealed to you in the first place? What got you into the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program?
Well, it sort of goes back to when back in the 90s I was working at a law firm in Grants Pass, and I came across two characters, Phil Newton and Anne Liegnek. Both of them were, Phil was an investigator for Adult Protective Services. Anne was sort of, she was an ombudsman, she was a guardian, and they would talk about what was happening. And it occurred to me, although I was still working then and wouldn't have the time, that this was something I might like to do. So when I retired, I did apply, and the first thing they did was lose my application. But that's all right. I didn't.
And
hold
here
it,
you are.
I didn't hold it against them. Mm-hmm. And I thank both Phil and Anne, because it really is a rewarding program. You don't do this for you don't. There's no monetary, you know, rewards or anything like that. But if you can spend a day or whatever, or not a full day, but half a day in a facility, and at the end of that day, somebody says thank you, and there's a smile on their face. It means a lot.
So this can get to be some fairly ugly situations, I would think. I mean, can you give us an idea of the range of things that you'll have to respond to?
Oh, I've dealt with, I have dealt with not many, thankfully, but true abuse issues. And then we go straight to Adult Protective Services. That was a situation where there was gross infection, and it was just really poor. And yes, no, you don't like it. And Adult Protective Services took it over. We do sometimes have to deal with family issues. You can have daughter one, daughter two want separate things. They don't even ask mother what she wants. So I explain to mother that I don't care what daughter one or daughter two wants. I want to listen to what she wants. And those are some of the things. Yesterday it was communications and it was lost laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of which are really major issues. But the quality of the residents' lives were improved because of what I was able to do, which was very simple.
We're talking again about the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program in the state of Oregon. Fred Steele's the director. He's on the phone from upstate. Julie Scott is a volunteer in Josephine County. Questions, comments from you, welcome at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. And we have an anonymous caller wanting to know what kinds of skills are required, Fred Steele.
Skills required would include a passion for helping your fellow community members who need your voice to help them through the issues that Julie's describing. The volunteers that we have around the state, their backgrounds range from, a career mother, those individuals that, have lived it, raised their kids and are looking for something to do. Two, we have attorneys, doctors, most retired, but attorneys, doctors, nurses, teachers, those are some of our common backgrounds. Lots of social worker backgrounds, but even individuals that have done IT work for a career, many individuals, in fact, as I think about it. So it's a range of backgrounds. We have a 6-day training. It's really 5 days of an in-class training with a 6-day of a facility visit that just lasts for about an hour or so. But we try to equip our volunteers to the greatest degree possible. And then we have support. Each region of the state has a dedicated staff person that supports and we call it their supervisor, but they support those volunteers and the work they do. So for each deputy ombudsman, a staff person, they can support about 30 to 40 volunteers. So, for example, for Julie and in those counties, we have a staff person that just covers Jackson, Josephine, Coos, Curry, and Douglas counties. So,
all right. So definitely spread thin again. The staff. You mentioned three more staffers you're getting out of the legislature this time. Will that enable people to focus on somewhat smaller geographical areas and therefore get a greater distribution of volunteers between the staffers?
Absolutely, and that is the plan. You don't cover Eastern Oregon, but thinking of maybe our rural Oregon, but Eastern Oregon being frontier Oregon, that was one area where we have a person. He's home-based. One of our staff person that lives in Bend, but he covers everything east of the Cascades.
Wow.
As far as counties. We're actually going to hire somebody in far Eastern Oregon. But in southern Oregon, we're going to split some of those counties so that our staff person can better support our volunteers. Currently in Jackson County, thinking of the counties that the Jefferson Exchange covers, we need about 8 to 10 more volunteers in Jackson County. You heard Julie talk about the two of them there in Josephine. We need another 7 or 8 volunteers there to cover the number of facilities. In Douglas County, about 3 or 4 more volunteers. We do have a core of 4 well-trained and long-term serving Douglas County volunteers. Lane County, there's 57 facilities in that entire county. Really need about 12 more volunteers, although we do have a healthy volunteer base in Lane County, but there's just a lot of facilities to cover there.
All right. So, Julie, give the sales pitch to somebody who's thinking about doing this, somebody who would, think that, well, it sounds like something I could do.
I would say if you're a good listener, because you listen to a wild variety of problems. Some of them we can fix, some of them we can't. And also if you like solving problems, because it's nice untying those knots. And you do get a great sense of satisfaction. And you've got to like people. I think people are put off because they think, oh, I don't like going into those facilities. But actually, a lot of good things happen there. It's not by all means all bad and nasty. And there's a great deal of satisfaction, I think. And any kind of, as Fred has said, we've got eclectic backgrounds. Almost anybody who is prepared to listen can solve a problem, can go through the 5 days of training. It's the worst part of the program. But Fred knows I believe that. But anyway, I would like to plug this, because there is going to be a training session in Grants Pass, mm-hmm. which is starting on August the 7th, the 8th, the 21st, the 22nd, and the 23rd. So of the hundreds of people that are going to respond to my request, please get it. If you go to the Long-Term Care Ombudsman website, you can actually apply directly. If you would like an application, we would be happy to meet with you and go over things in more detail.
All right. And I'm looking, Fred, at oltco.org. That is the address for that 800 number you mentioned. Is there a number that people can call to get more information about perhaps volunteering?
Yes, there is. It is 1-800-522-2602.
2602-522-2602, 800-522-2602 for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. Training again, you said the 7th and 8th and the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of August.
Correct.
In Josephine County, where Julie Scott is one of two ombudsmen, and they would welcome your help there. Fred Steele is the director of the program upstate. Thank you, Fred, for joining us.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Julie Scott, good to have you in the studio.
Thank you for the opportunity.